The Kansas City Chiefs played their second preseason game on Friday night, and I decided to take that pure adrenaline, that adrenaline rush that preseason football brings, and I said, let's just go ahead and record the podcast right after the game. It's wild and crazy. It's Roughing the Kicker here on Arrowhead Addict Radio, arrowheadaddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe, at JB Briscoe on Twitter. Going to recap the Chiefs preseason victory over the Seattle Seahawks, focusing in on the production of Dee Ford, the play of Alex Smith, and the debacle of an offensive line without Eric Fisher. Plus, then, after the game recap, I'm going to take a look at Football Outsiders' biggest concern for the Chiefs this season, and the latest news and injury updates from Chiefs Kingdom, both from the preseason game, what I know so far, coming right up on midnight on Friday night as I sit down to record this show, to bring you everything that you should have seen or should know now going forward that began, finished, or continued through this preseason game. There are a lot of interesting storylines that have continued through the preseason. We talk about the offensive line constantly, and I think there's a continual reason to do so. Look at the quarterbacks, look at the pass rush, look at the rookies, the young guys who really performed, or the ones who underperformed in this game, and project them going forward a little bit. But first, let's talk about some show news. Okay, now I promise we're going to get to football very, very quickly here, but first I need to talk about this thing going on with the show. This month we ran into a good problem. We exceeded our bandwidth cap for the show's iTunes feed, which is frankly an awesome sign that this entire Chiefs community is passionate about this team, having an all-Chiefs show every week to get the latest news and analysis from a local perspective. I am thrilled to be able to provide that to a group large enough to force me to upgrade the bandwidth feed. However, in the almost 2 years or so of doing this show, there's never been any sort of budget. And now, especially when I get to start doing two shows a week during the season, that hosting package is going to have to be greater for this show. So, and then even, I'd also like to be able to get to the point where I can invest in some software to bring on guests, maybe even callers on a regular basis to this show through the entire season. And then hopefully even beyond that, looking at things like hardware upgrades, technical things that make the production of this show easier. And in a dream scenario, maybe this takes it to a point where I could be doing this show up to three times a week instead of just the one or two that will currently be happening. So what I've done now is set up a page on a website called Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/RTK or Google Patreon, then just add /RTK. You can also find the link on my Twitter. You can look at the different ways you can support the show. It's sort of like a monthly subscription, but for $5, $10, $25, or up to $100 a month, you can say, hey, I want to support this show. There are different little perks, shout-outs of your Twitter account, get specific questions asked. For the $100 tier, you can be a sponsor for an episode for whatever you want to sponsor. And I'm also very, very open to coming up with different perks, similar to Kickstarter, very open to coming up with different perks to make it useful for you to help support this show. And I'm at the point now of feeling comfortable asking that because I know that there's a community of people who really care about this show, a group of people who really care enough to support it even financially, so I can continue doing this through the season and then hopefully bigger and better through the entire season and deep into the future. So patreon.com/RTK, you can find that link on my Twitter page. I'll tweet it whenever the show goes up. And if there's anything, any questions you have or any ideas you have about ways you or anyone else could help support this show, I'd love to hear about it. That current link, again, is patreon.com/RTK. That's patreon.com/RTK. Now, football time. Let's start with a few things that were notable before the game began. One of the things I thought was interesting was that Dee Ford got the start in place of Tom Bahaly. It seemed like Tom was just getting the night off. He doesn't need any preseason reps, and Dee Ford definitely does. Thought that would be interesting. That did prove to be interesting. Chris Conley was a guy we thought we ought to watch. That didn't end up being much of anything. And the offensive line was Donald Stevenson at left tackle, Ben Grubbs at left guard, Mitch Morse at center, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif at right guard, and Paul Fanica at right tackle. That was an offensive line combination we haven't seen, and now one I hope we don't see again. We probably will next week, I assume, though, or something similar to it at least, because of the injuries to Jeff Allen and Eric Fisher, which kept both of them out of the game, along with Justin March, D'Anthony Thomas, and Josh Malga, along with Jeff Allen and Eric Fisher, all did not play in this game. Fisher was hurt in the last week of training camp during some 9-on-7 drills. He has a high ankle sprain. He's expected to be back for week one. I think this game went on to show us how vital Eric Fisher truly is. I'll yell about that in a little while. Undrafted free agent inside linebacker Justin March has a torn meniscus and reportedly already had surgery. Charles Robinson tweeted that after talking to Andy Reid, he believes the Chiefs will try very hard to keep March. Now to the actual game. James Michael Johnson kicked everything off with a nice play on the kickoff. He's fighting for a linebacker spot along with a bunch of those guys we talked about last week. I'll have a link to last week's episode in the post here on Arrowhead Addict if you want to go back and listen to that. The first defense, though, got on the field. Allen Bailey, Justin Houston, and the defensive line got great penetration twice in a row. Stuff Robert Turbin. There was no Marshawn Lynch in this game. And then on third and seven, Ford and Houston got pressure. Russell Wilson threw a quick pass. Gaines broke it up. Three and out. Great first drive for the defense there. The first team offense, Smith went deep to Albert Wilson right away, similarly to how the Chiefs went deep to Macklin in last week's game. But Fanica got absolutely whipped. Alex Smith got a roughing the passer call, even though it shouldn't have been. Those roughing the passer calls have gotten completely out of hand. Then Smith got sacked on the next play. I mean, it took two plays for Smith to get absolutely rocked two times. The offensive line didn't waste any time showing how miserable it was in this game. Then Nile Davis got nothing. A false start on Albert Wilson. Third and 19. Smith targeted Macklin just past the marker. He needed to get the ball to him about a half step sooner, in my opinion, but it was a pretty good pass. Macklin probably should have just caught it. It was good coverage. The pass wasn't completely perfect, but it was awfully good. I think Macklin catches that pass half the time. So we almost had a nice third down conversion early on there for the Chiefs, but it didn't quite fall. Good pressure on the first-team defense for their second drive. Powerful rush from Dee Ford forced Russell Wilson throw away. Ford throughout the game really showed some nice different moves. And this drive, I believe, was one where he got squared up with the tackle, going up against the left tackle, I should add, and just bull-rushed him back into Wilson. And then there were many, many times whenever he either just beat the tackle off the step, threw a little spin move in. So this is just first of many instances of Dee Ford having a really nice game here. Third down, Marcus Peters got beat, but Kearse couldn't catch it. Frankie Hammond had his second crummy punt return. DeAnthony Thomas's job there will certainly be safe. But for the defense, looked really good. They should be in the face of quarterbacks all year long, especially adding Tomba back in and whenever Dontari Poe returns. And I added at the time as I was watching the game, you're all going to appreciate Eric Fisher soon. And I hope you do after watching this game. Because in the first team offense, in their second drive, it went very, very poorly. Started off okay, short crossing off the Charles, got the first down. But then the LDT Fanaka right side just got more and more horrifying. I'm going to need to go back and rewatch the game at some point to be sure. But I think Fanaka got beat essentially every single time around the edge and just got completely fooled. There's a handoff to Nile Davis. Fanica then got bum-rushed. The whole offensive line got absolutely smashed. Tackle for loss. Under pressure. Smith checked it down to Charles. Got batted away. Charles caught it and was then tackled by LDT, who I should remind you is a Chief and should not be tackling Jamal Charles. It was a miserable offensive series there. But then the defense came back again with another really nice showing. Derek Johnson looks fantastic. He had great pursuit and pass defense, tackled the guy after catching the ball, and got about 1 yard on that play. Defense stuffed the run. Wilson got a quick first down on a 10-yard pass right at Marcus Peters. He got beat there. But then Ford got around the left tackle and should have had Wilson completely dead to rights. Wilson ended up rushing for a couple of yards, but it was a really good rush by Dee Ford. He just needed to force Wilson back up into the defensive line. Instead, he tried to go sort of inside Wilson to where he was able to sidestep and get around Ford. So that was an approach mistake by Ford, but a really good initial rush and a nice whipping on the left tackle. Then a check down got past Phil Gaines. Doug Baldwin got a first down. And then Jamel Fleming had an immediate tackle after a one-yard pass was made difficult by Justin Houston. It was a really good play by Fleming. It got some recognition on Twitter. Fleming's closing speed was really nice on that play. Then there's another defensive stuff by Derek Johnson, who looks completely back. And then back to Dee Ford. The Seattle left tackle had a false start because he's trying to keep up with Dee Ford's edge rush. He got jumpy. He tried to move too soon because Dee Ford is just too fast. I don't know how prime Dee Ford's physical game is going to be where he can just run guys over, but that speed is going to make some left tackles very, very antsy. Then right after that, Marcus Peters had a really great pass breakup that also showed up on Twitter in some places. His closing speed once the ball was in the air, I mean, he's covering, if you didn't get to see this play, he's covering his man, running the route, whatever, and whenever the ball is in the air, Peter stops, locates it, and closes back in on the receiver so quickly and so forcefully. That was a really, really good play by Marcus Peters. That might be his biggest advantage, is that burst back to the receiver whenever the ball is in the air. And then Ford looked like a real NFL pass rusher that whole series. two really great bright spots right there with Peters and Ford to help overlook what the offensive line did. But then, the next drive, the offense really picked it up. Started off with a quick short pass to Jeremy Maclin. Then there was a little misdirection handoff to Maclin, but he got broken in half. Ended up calling for a sub immediately, which made all of us nervous for a little bit. Chris Conley then came in. Nothing to Charles. Smith took a dumb delay of game penalty as he was thinking the first quarter would run out, and it didn't run out until after it. It was horrible. But second and 21, then Nile Davis run gets a face mask and a first down. And then the first really nice play, though, of the game was Jason Avant. He got vertical just over the fingertips of a linebacker. The throw was perfect from Alex Smith, and Avant hauled it in. Really precise pass. Very nice play. Nile Davis gets the ball, third and one, takes around the edge. Donald Stevenson, another nice pull block. He's a very good puller. He had a good one last week also. And I thought this last year, but I hope Stevenson plays. I think he should play more this year. But again, last year's offensive line was absolutely atrocious, and he couldn't get on the field. So what do I know? At Nicole Fee, F-E-Y-H, on Twitter, tweeted, "Very impressed by Mitch Morse tonight. Using his hands well, showing a lot of strength at center. Snaps look smoother as well." And that's something that I hadn't even noticed or even thought about Mitch Morse, because LDT and Fanica had been so miserable. So if anyone really focused on Mitch Morse, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Hopefully this is actually true. Eric Cush has still been battling an injury lately, so Morse gets the start here. If Morse can really be developing and looks like a real starting caliber center early on here, great news for the Chiefs. One less position on the offensive line I have to worry about. Travis Kelce just sliced in the middle of the field. Alex Smith at this point had something called a pocket, I believe is what teams of the offensive line call it. So Smith has some time, hits Kelce perfectly for 23 yards. Another fantastic play. That's the kind of play that I think we have a chance of seeing like 15 times this season, 15 to 20 times, where multiple times a game you're looking at Kelce slicing down the middle of the field across the middle. And Smith has no reason not to hit Kelce there. Then on third and eight, Smith rolled out, made his own pocket over to the left side of the line, zipped it down to Maclin, headed down the sideline for a perfect 10-yard gain. That was another fantastic play. So they were really finding a rhythm here, making some time for Smith, either by the offensive line giving him a pocket or by Smith rolling out. Offense is really rolling here. Smith couldn't find an open receiver even with some time on the next play. Ran to the three. Although before that, actually, Smith had time again, fired it to Jeremy Maclin at the goal line, and Maclin really should have caught it, though he did get pretty much lit up after he touched the ball, so that was difficult. Then Smith couldn't find an open receiver in the red zone. Then on third and goal, Smith gets Maclin his first touchdown. Smith looked to his right, then to his middle, then went left to Maclin, which I believe was the plan the whole time, and Jeremy Maclin, a receiver, for a touchdown. He either went through his progressions perfectly or was just looking off the safety help to the right and then to the middle before going to Maclin right on the edge there. Nice play, great drive in spite of the offensive line, although a couple of those plays, the offensive line did hold up pretty well. 14 plays, 83 yards, in a little over 7 minutes. Smith to Maclin from 3 yards out. Great scoring drive there for the Chiefs. With the offensive line now, though, I want to zoom back out for a second. I feel okay. I feel fine, really, about a Fisher, Grubbs, Morse, Allen, Stevenson, or a Fisher, Grubbs, Morse, Fulton, Allen offensive line. But Eric Fisher, welcome to this world. Eric Fisher is totally indispensable for this Chiefs team right now. If Fisher doesn't play against the Texans, the first team to get a defensive touchdown is going to win, because neither team will be able to do anything on offense. Eric Fisher is taking these steps forward. I've been saying since January, this is going to be his big year. And if this ends up not being his big year and this prediction of mine falls flat, then Eric Fisher's done. But I think this is Fisher's big step up of a season. This was the year when it was a real step ahead for Tyron Smith, the Cowboys left tackle, who's one of the best tackles in the league. He played his first year at right tackle, then his second year he was at left tackle, and it was his third year, which was his second year at left tackle, where he really, really thrived, and that's where Eric Fisher is also. I think we're going to see Fisher take a big step forward, and we've seen even just a little bit in the Cardinals preseason game, that one little video I tweeted out of him absolutely making an entire play by holding his guy right in place when everyone else is just scooting. I think in his entire performance against the Cardinals, Eric Fisher was very, very good. So welcome to a world, I guess, where the Chiefs have actual offensive weapons, Macklin, Wilson, Charles, Kelsey, DeAnthony Thomas maybe. The Chiefs have offensive weapons, and Eric Fisher is an absolutely vital asset. I tried to warn all of you this was coming. Eric Fisher is a keystone of this team now, and I think I'm okay with that, honestly. As long as he can stay healthy and get back for the Houston game, I think we're going to see Eric Fisher take some nice steps forward this year, and he's going to need to. Defense came back out, really let up as the Seahawks marched towards midfield. And then Derek Johnson broke the poor running back in half the line of scrimmage. Trez Paylor tweeted that Mike DeVito was still very stout. He said teams are running at him, and he holds his ground very well. Then on 2nd and 18, Jimmy Graham absolutely whips Ron Parker. I do not like watching Ron Parker in coverage. Paylor then tweeted again, D Ford playing with some violence tonight. That cat is pumped up, quoting Trez Paylor. I don't really call people cats very frequently. And then unfortunately, the very next play, D Ford got absolutely lit up. Christine Michael threw a heavy shoulder into Ford's chest on a little chip block as Ford was already engaged. It was clean, but it was ugly. Ford was down for a while. He left the ground. He got hit so hard. He walked off on his own power. He missed some time in camp with a concussion, but the Chiefs listed him with a rib injury, and a questionable return was then downgraded. And then after the game, Andy Reid says that he may have a fractured rib. So many different variables, so many different types of injuries that could be, such a different timetable. Thankfully, the Chiefs have a luxury of not having to start D Ford right now, but he really seemed to be coming into his own in this game against the Seahawks, so it would be really disappointing for him to have to miss much time with this rib injury. Seattle then was held to a field goal with 7-3 Chiefs at that point. The offense back on the field. Smith underthrows Frankie Hammond with some space ahead of him. And that was really ugly. That should have been a nice play for the Chiefs. And then the next play, Smith has a pocket, and he was going for Jason Avant, but just threw it straight to Bobby Wagner, the linebacker from the Seahawks, who just walked it back for a pick six. That was a difficult play. And then the offense, of course, came right back on the field because the Seahawks defense is what scored the touchdown. Smith couldn't find a receiver, scrambled near first down. Niall Davis shifted for the first on the next play. Penalty, a 14-yard pass to James O'Shaughnessy, which was a nice little play. And then Niall Davis had a nice little dance on 2nd and 1 for 0 yards. But then Davis on the next play busted through, got out of bounds on 3rd down. Stevenson with another nice lead block for Davis there. Some pressure on Alex Smith, rushes for about 10 yards, and then a penalty kills the Jason Avant completion. Smith gets killed on a sack. Lavon DuVernay-Tardive is not good. Halftime. That's where the first team offense and defense ended. Overall, major takeaways there, I think, come from Alex Smith, D Ford, and the offensive line. Let's start with D Ford, as I've said already a bunch. This will be the shortest one. D Ford looked very, very good. Really, he looked fast. He looked quick. He was making the left tackle for the Seahawks uncomfortable with his speed and even being able to overpower him on occasion. Great start for D Ford. Hopefully he comes back very soon. Offensive line, very ugly. LDT and Faniaka are not starting offensive linemen. I know I've said several times when people talk about LDT as this project, they want to see him, you know, get some playing time. Everyone saw him in training camp, got excited about the idea of him being a real piece for this offensive line on some level. He's just a project right now. He is so not ready. I mean, on a big level, he's obviously not ready. And Faniaka, I knew I had to learn to say his name right, Faniaka, because I'd have to say it so many times because of how bad he was in this game. It was just miserable. He's not a tackle. I don't know why he was playing right tackle at all. It worries me that the Chiefs would even think that he's their next best tackle option. Hopefully Jeff Allen and Eric Fisher come back very quickly and strong to where we never have to see Faniaka play tackle again. We might not see Faniaka make this team. And also, I really like Donald Stevenson still at right tackle. So I think we're going to see Fulton or Allen at right guard and then Stevenson or Allen at right tackle. As long as Fisher comes back, I think the offensive line will come back together. There have been some reports late here tonight that the Chiefs are back in on Evan Mathis. I'm going to keep checking Twitter as I record this show, and then even after, whenever you're seeing this show or hearing this show, there might be different news there. I would be surprised still if the Chiefs ended up with Evan Mathis, and I'm not sure I'd be a fan of it, seeing some numbers thrown around like $20 million guaranteed, way too much for a guard, especially whenever the guard isn't the huge problem here. The problem's going to be if the tackles aren't good. Then lastly, Alex Smith. He had that one really nice drive, and then right after that, he missed Hammond down the sideline, and then he put it right in Bobby Wagner's breadbasket. Alex Smith, he cannot be that off and on. He cannot be that sporadic. If he's not consistent, if he can't limit turnovers and maximize what he is actually good at, it's going to be a really rough time for Alex Smith. I think he will improve at doing that, you know, in the actual season once we get some chemistry between him and Jeremy Maclin, whatever needs to happen there. But if that starts to fall apart, I'm going to get very nervous. One interesting thing that I thought a lot of you here on Arrowhead Addict would be really interested to start this conversation is Bob Vesco tweeted, "The only difference between Trent Green and Alex Smith was the offensive line." I'm not sure if I buy into that or not. It's not horribly scandalous. If Trent Green and Alex Smith switched offensive lines, if Alex Smith had the offensive line with those Hall of Famers or near Hall of Famers, he'd probably look something like Trent Green, and I think he has better weapons right now than Trent Green had. If Smith had that kind of offensive line with all of those elite talents, he'd probably be putting up Pro Bowl numbers, which is really out there, I understand. And before I say anything completely scandalous, I'll digress and let you guys handle it in the comments. But I think it's a very interesting, though completely arbitrary, discussion. That's what we learned in the first half from the starters, but now let's look into the depth of the team. Now, before I even go into the second half at all, I want to say it's pretty remarkable to look at the difference in the depth of this team now as compared to in 2000, any time from 2010 through 2013 or so. The second team has looked really good in the two preseason games so far, partially because compared to other depth in the league, it is really good. A Chase Daniel-led second team is nothing to be upset about, and just the pure talent and the ability and the chemistry even of the second units has been pretty high class. So I think John Dorsey's done a tremendous job of building the depth for this team. But now let's go ahead and go back to this game specifically. Eric Berry, Tyvon Branch, and Sean Smith were all running with the quote-unquote second team. Again, speaking to the depth on some level, and then Berry just getting him snaps, and Sean Smith, because he'll obviously be suspended for the first three games. Rookie Steven Nelson got burned by rookie Tyler Lockett, and Nelson owned up to that after the game. Seahawks then marched on the field, but the Chiefs held up in the red zone, highlighted with a fantastic deep tackle for a loss by defensive end Mike Catapano on third down. Catapano showed up several times in the second half. I think he's going to be a really nice addition. Again, think of the depth here. He won't start over Alan Bailey at any point. He probably won't start a game all season on either side of the defensive line. But to be able to bring him in pieces and to be able to count on whatever Catapano can bring, huge asset. Chase Daniel in the offense for the second straight week looked awfully good. They converted the Chiefs offense as a whole going back into the first half, converted seven consecutive third downs, the last of them being on a 17-yard toss to Fred Williams, who showed up again. According to the TV broadcast, the reason Fred Williams is a 27-year-old rookie, which I pointed out last week, is because he spent 2 years in the Arena League. So that continues to be an interesting story there with Fred Williams potentially getting that last receiver spot with the Chiefs. A drive gets started to stall, but it got new life when Chase Daniel got a roughing the passer penalty on another awful call. The roughing the passer penalties at this point are miserable, and it's hurting the game, but I digress for now. Daniel made a nice pass to O'Shaughnessy, but O'Shaughnessy was about to be just murdered by a safety, and so O'Shaughnessy didn't go up the whole way to get the ball, and it ended up being incomplete. With 8 minutes left, the Chiefs defense stopped a 4th-and-4 to get the ball back. And then Aaron Murray took over then. He doesn't throw the ball, apparently. He's thrown one pass in two games. It was incomplete. Offense got stuffed on 4th-and-1. The Chiefs' depth on defense, including Daniel Sorensen and again Mike Catapano, held the Seahawks offense again, forced a punt. Chris Conley fielded and returned a punt from inside the end zone to about the 2-yard line, which was miserable. But Sharkhandrick West got the first down after a bunch of handoffs in the end zone. The Chiefs ended up punting, but DJ Alexander had a great special teams tackle. And Nick Williams ended the game with a sack to seal off the 14-13 victory over the Seahawks. Back in the third quarter, the Chiefs got that 14th point with James O'Shaughnessy, a touchdown from Chase Daniel, which I glossed over there. And that was a nice drive as well. 7 plays, 86 yards. Chase Daniel can move this offense. Now he's moving it with the second team around him and against the second and third team defense, which is a huge deal. If Alex Smith is going up against the second and third team defense, he'd be doing the same thing. But it's really, I think it's encouraging to see that Daniel can move this offense, and it's nice to see O'Shaughnessy get acquainted to the offense and really get involved. overall, the stats from this game, not a lot to take away because the score was low. But overall, from a perspective of watching the game, I think there were a lot of factors. Talk about those three with the first team. Then looking at the second team, Daniel goes 8 for 12 for 82 yards. Alex Smith was 11 for 18 for 81 yards. Both of them threw a touchdown. Alex Smith with a one interception. Charkandrick West again leads the team in carries, 13 carries for 40 yards. I think he might be the second best running back on this team. Nile Davis, 11 for just 29 yards. The other running back I talked about a little bit last week was Spencer Ware, who on that drive that ended up in that James O'Shaughnessy touchdown, which was the start right out of halftime for the Chiefs offense, the second team, there was a fantastic play with Daniel, where Daniel was buying some time, scrambled around a little bit, ended up rolling out, and then fired it sort of horizontally across the field to Spencer Ware, the running back, who then took it down the field, which really sparked that drive that ended up, as I said, 7 plays, 86 yards, 3 minutes, ending with that touchdown to O'Shaughnessy, which is really a nice start there. So I think ultimately it's going to be Charles Davis and Charkandrick West as the running backs for this team. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see West start to really overtake the number two running back spot. I mean, I guess I would be surprised on some level because that would be, I should say it like this, that would be surprising based off of what we know, but it certainly wouldn't offend me on any level because I think West has some explosiveness that and some vision that I'm not sure Nile Davis has yet. Davis has the physical tools, but I don't trust him yet at all. Frankie Hammond led the team in receiving and in receptions and in targets. 3 receptions, 36 yards. 5 targets, though. Spencer Ware ends up with that 28-yard play all on that one pass that I was just describing a second ago. But again, the touchdowns go to Jeremy Maclin and James O'Shaughnessy, both players we hope to see involved. That nice play to Kelsey. The offense, in a lot of ways, I think we saw function very well, and then we saw it function very poorly whenever Alex Smith missed Hammond on the sideline and then threw that pick. I think we saw a lot of good and a lot of bad from the Chiefs in this game in a very short period of time, which is pretty rare for a preseason game. We saw a lot of those silver lining things. We saw D4 look very good. We saw D4 get injured. We saw the offensive line hold up and give Alex with the pocket. We saw it look really, really miserable. But we can also say, hey, it's good news because the two most important offensive linemen will be back in time for the season to start. We saw the defense hold up really, really well throughout most of the game with a few exceptions here and there. But obviously 13 points is a great showing in a regular game. In a preseason game, it doesn't mean quite as much, especially the Seahawks just were in the Super Bowl the last 2 years. They're 0-2 in the preseason. I wouldn't read too much into that. But the defense looked very good. The run defense is taking huge steps forward. The pass rush is taking a step forward because D4 took a step forward. Hatamba and Justin Houston are both going to be very good. That third threat of D4, very, very valuable. So there's a lot of good and a lot of not so good that I think we saw in this game, which is at least entertaining. At this point, I've sort of come to a realization that I'm watching these games and trying to dissect them and take notes through them and analyze them, and in the end, I just sort of have this nervous energy of waiting to see what actually happens whenever they're playing games that really matter. Because when this offensive line faces off against J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney in the Houston defense, it could go just about any way possible. But whenever you say, well, how's the Chiefs defense going to hold up against Alfred Blue and Brian Hoyer, or whoever ends up playing, or Ryan Mallett, whoever plays quarterback for the Texans in Week 1, you feel pretty darn good about that. So in both cases, we might see a 14-13 game like on Saturday or on Friday night here. We might see that be the Week 1 score as well or something like it. But on the other hand, the Chiefs offense has some explosiveness that I think could end up really actually scaring some teams. Now, that will not happen if Alex Smith is on his back all the time. If Eric Fisher and whoever the right tackle is can't keep Alex Smith standing, this offense won't scare one single person because Alex Smith is not going to be able to use these weapons from the ground. This offseason, there's a huge emphasis put on the run defense, which looks so much better so far, and a huge emphasis put on the offensive line that, at least with these depth guys, did not look good at all on Friday night. The offensive line, as it was last year, is going to be, in my opinion, the biggest factor of how successful this team is going to be. And currently, that's a pretty scary proposition because it doesn't look great. Last big story here of this episode is Football Outsiders puts together a guide to the 2015 season, and this is what they put together for 32 paragraphs about 32 teams, put this together through Deadspin, and here's what they wrote about the Chiefs. I think it's very interesting and, for the most part, pretty spot on. It's a sort of criticism of Alex Smith. They write, third down is where Alex Smith's conservatism may hurt his teams the most. Since 2011, Smith has taken the most third down sacks, 69, and has the worst sack rate, 13.4%, among quarterbacks with at least 200 third down passes. And when he's not pulling the trigger, he's firing too short. In 2014, Smith's average third down pass was thrown 2.3 yards short of the first down marker, the shortest average in the league when compared to needed yards for a first down. Add parenthetically, I will return to that point. Continuing, Aaron Rodgers had the longest average pass at 4 yards beyond the first down marker. More than any quarterback in the league, Smith relies on his receivers to break tackles and gain yards after the catch to convert on third down. This metric is called air minus need differential, and the average starting quarterback has an AMND of plus 1.4 since 2011. Smith's minus 1.7 is the lowest since 2011 among players with at least 300 attempts. It's as if Smith is playing a different sport than his peers. That's written by Scott Kazmar. There is a lot there that I think is very interesting and extremely relevant. Let's go ahead and work backwards, I suppose. One of the things they say is that Smith relies on his receivers to break tackles more than any quarterback in the league. And that's true, and the Chiefs know that. That's why there's so much speed and they've put so much talent around Smith where they need to. Where Jamaal Charles, Jeremy Maclin, D'Anthony Thomas, Albert Wilson, Travis Kelce, maybe James O'Shaughnessy all have that ability to either run away from a tackle, break a tackle, whatever it takes to continue the play after getting the ball. The Chiefs know that. They're working towards that. However, I talked about this last week because it happened in the Cardinals preseason game, and I probably talked about it darn near every single week through the NFL season last year, is when Alex Smith, when it's 3rd and 6, and Alex Smith throws a 4-yard pass to the sideline, Albert Wilson gets 4 yards, and it's 4th and 2, and the Chiefs punt. It drives me completely insane. It makes my head want to pop off my shoulders. Those are cases where Smith and the offense and Reed and the receivers, every facet of that grouping needs to do better. Smith needs to shoot farther. The receivers need to run cleaner routes, and Reed needs to have them running, Doug Peterson too. They need to have those receivers running routes where if it's 3rd and 6, that route needs to go 7 yards. And if they're going to go 4 yards on that route and Smith keeps going to it, either stop giving him that option or say stop putting it there, take some risks and throw the ball 7 yards on 3rd and 6, because throwing it 3 yards and then the guy getting tackled because the defense is expecting it is not working. That's probably my single biggest gripe with Alex Smith and this Chiefs offense, is the not just the conservatism, as Football Outsiders puts it, but the conservatism in cases when it's utterly inexcusable. Even if it's 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 15, and you're not going to kick a field goal, but you also don't want to have to punt it there, give yourself a chance. Don't check it down to D'Anthony Thomas in the middle. Yes, he's really fast, but the entire secondary, as soon as Thomas catches it, is going to close in. They're all fast. They're all NFL secondary members. They're going to get D'Anthony Thomas before he makes up 7 yards after the catch. Take a shot down the field. Don't throw it 30 yards. Throw it 15. Throw it to wherever the first down marker is. Alex Smith has to do that more frequently, and everyone around Alex Smith needs to do a better job of making that something where he feels comfortable doing it, and then he just needs to do it more often. It drives me absolutely insane. I think it's a fantastic metric by Football Outsiders and a great summary. I'll link to that article in the post here on Arrowhead Addict, because I think it's worth reading again. Hear it, read it, whatever it takes, because this might be the single largest key to how successful Alex Smith is. His average pass length is one thing, but his average pass length in crucial situations, in third downs, in 2-minute drills, if Alex Smith doesn't force the ball downfield on second down, or whenever the Chiefs are playing with a lead, or whenever they have some time, whatever that may be, that's not that big of a deal. If Alex Smith tends to throw the ball 5 yards and hope for a guy to break a tackle, that's okay. If he throws the ball 3 yards to Albert Wilson and it's 3rd and 6, that is absolutely not okay, and that's going to drown this Chiefs season. That's going to do it for this right after the game, late Friday night, early Saturday morning episode of Roughing the Kicker here on ArrowheadAddict.com, Arrowhead Addict Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. Don't forget to check out that Patreon page to support the show any way you can. That's patreon.com/RTK. If you can't support the show financially right now, and you can check out all the goals and all of the reasons and all the places that this money would go, if you can't support the show financially right now, give me feedback on Twitter @JBBriscoe. Write a review, leave comments on the iTunes page for this show. feedback is the next best thing. I appreciate that on a huge, huge level. As always, thank you also just for listening and for spreading the show and sharing it with your friends, with your families, with your fellow Chiefs fans. I love being able to do this show for you and this entire Chiefs community, and the more people listen, the better of a chance there is that you'll get totally sick of me because I'll be doing it for so long. My voice will annoy you to tears.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?